This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Az-Zumar a couple of verses that inshallah we will discuss today. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That He says, say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all the sins. Indeed, it is He who is forgiving and merciful. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes upon you, and then you will not be helped. We'll discuss these two verses, why they were revealed, why they are important for us to think about. The first question, why were they revealed? There's two different stories that mention the revelation of these verses. The first is that some people who are polytheist mushrikun, they came to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said to him, how do you think that we will respond to you, that we will accept your call, when you are the one who says that the one who commits zina, or the one who kills, or the one who has made shirk, the one who has worshipped and associated in their worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be destroyed by the fire. And so they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed we have done all of these sins that you have talked about. So how do you think that we will accept your call? And so when they said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all the sins. Another story that is mentioned in relation to these verses is the story of Ayyash ibn Rabi'ah and others who were like him. Who Ayyash radiallahu an, I mentioned probably to you his story before, he wanted to perform the hijrah, and he was going from Mecca to Medina with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. And on his way there, some of Quraysh caught up to him. And they said to him, you're leaving your mother in a terrible state, and she's crying over you. And they basically guilt tripped him. So he felt so badly, he decided to go back. Umar said, don't go back. Your mother will take care of herself. And they're just saying this to make you stay. But Ayyash radiallahu anhu said, no, I have to go back. I can't leave my mother like this. So he went back. And on his way back, they tricked him and they chained him and they took him back to Mecca and imprisoned him and tortured him until he gave up. He gave up any desire to go to Medina and he stayed back in Mecca. And so some of the Muslims in Medina, when they thought about people like Ayyash, they said, what's wrong with these people? They know the truth. They accepted Islam. They know that this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet for whatever reason they've stayed behind in Mecca. And the Muslims in Medina felt Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never forgive people like Ayyash. And then this verse was revealed. O my servants who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Umar ibn Khattab, when he heard this verse, immediately understood that this applies even to people like Ayyash. So he wrote it down on a piece of paper and sent it through a secret messenger to arrive to Ayyash. And Ayyash opened it up and saw the verses written. And when he read those verses, he was overcome with joy, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive his sin. And immediately took his camel, the camel that was given to him by Umar, and he went back immediately to Medina to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to fulfill his hijrah. So this verse applies to both the Muslim and the non-Muslim. It applies both to the one who's religious and the one who's not very religious or just beginning to discover their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the eloquence of the Qur'an, that a single verse can speak to so many different people and so many various situations, and yet one verse could apply equally to so many different people. The verse begins with قُلْ. قُلْ means say. And this is Allah telling our Prophet to say to us. And then the verse almost transitions, that no longer is Allah telling the Prophet to say to us, but that He is speaking to us directly. So قُلْ, O Prophet, say to them, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants. Allah speaks to us directly. Why does He speak to us directly? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is demonstrating His love for us. He's demonstrating us that He is speaking to us directly. That He is directly conversing with us. يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants. Now realize, عِبَاد, servants, can refer to Muslim people and can refer to non-Muslims. Because either you are a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. you are a Muslim abd of Allah, that you are willingly serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you are a servant of Allah because you were created and ultimately are under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it applies to either, but it's more intimate when it's referring to the Muslim, when it refers to the one who has willingly submitted to Allah Azza wa Jal. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَسْرَفُوا. Those who have transgressed. Israf is to go beyond what is reasonable, beyond what is good. We use israf when we talk about money often. Allah says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Don't be excessive. Allah does not like those who are excessive. Somebody who spends extravagantly, he doesn't need something, but he spends all of his money on something he doesn't need. We would say this is israf. You're going beyond what is reasonable, spending beyond what is needed. So likewise, when we talk about sin, the person is going beyond the limits, beyond what is reasonable. They are transgressing. Every sin is israf, not with your money, but with your body and with your soul. And so we are spending our energy, our life, our breath, our time, our strength on something that is destructive. Imagine somebody took a bunch of money and they walked out and they started throwing it out, just giving it away like that. See what's wrong with you? Especially if the person needs it. We would say that's israf. You're going beyond what is reasonable logic and spending on things you don't need. You're just giving away your money like that for no reason, no purpose. And so israf in our sins, you're giving away, not money, but your strength. You're giving away your time, your energy, your soul. Giving it away for sins that are going to destroy you. And so israf is going beyond the pale. And israf implies here that it's not just a slip. It's not just a mistake. But that the person has done it over and over, often and often. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. When He talks about our sins, He says we've gone beyond what is reasonable, what is proper, and we've done it a lot. Right? We've fallen into evil, and we've fallen into this evil a lot. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, you belong to me. الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. You've done these terrible sins, and you've gone beyond the pale a lot, and yet you are still عِبَادِي, my servants, the ones whom belong to me who I love. Now, when we do this israf, when we go beyond the pale, when we harm, who are we harming? Allah says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have transgressed, who have gone beyond against themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, when we sin, the one we are harming primarily is ourselves. You might think that when you lie, you're harming other people. You are. But you're actually harming yourself the most. And you find this. Somebody lies to other people. Now he thinks everybody else is lying to him. Somebody cheats other people. He's paranoid that people are cheating him. Somebody disrespects their parents. All of a sudden they have children who disrespect them. We find that when we harm other people, what ends up happening is the consequences are we harm ourselves, probably first and foremost. When we break the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we harm ourselves the most. So Allah says, you who have transgressed against yourself, you've harmed yourself. And the greatest harm that will come to us from the consequences of our sins is on the Day of Judgment. And when we enter into the hellfire, or our place in Jannah is reduced because of our sins. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh, my servants who have transgressed against themselves. What does Allah tell us? What does He want from us to know? لَا تَقْنُطُ مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never give up hope. Qunut is to be cut off of hope. To despair. There's no more hope. And this happens to a lot of people. They fall into some sins, and they start speaking to themselves, or shaitan is whispering to themselves, and they say to them, what's the point of even trying to be a good Muslim? What's the point of even coming to the masjid? What's the point of even praying or fasting? You did this sin. You're so bad. Allah is never going to accept from you. Allah is never going to be there for you. Give up hope. This is shaitan trying to cause you to do the worst possible thing. The worst possible thing, realize, is not the israf, the sins that we were doing. The worst possible thing was not all the evil deeds we were doing and doing so much of. No, the worst possible thing was, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't despair from the mercy of Allah. Don't despair in hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in the Qur'an, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That only those who despair from the relief of Allah are those who disbelieve. Despair is not the attribute of the believer. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ يَعْلَمَ الْكَافِرُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. If the disbeliever knew what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in terms of His mercy, he said, مَا قَنَتَ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ أَحَدٍ. Nobody would have ever despaired from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ, a man came to him, said to him, what are the worst of all the sins? The Prophet said, first, al-ishraku billah, that you worship other than Allah. Second, wal-ya'su min rawhillah, to despair from the relief of Allah. And third, wal-qunutu min rahmatillah, and to despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these meanings are tied. And the Prophet couples it with shirk. Why? Because you are conceptualizing a very negative, low, stingy image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say to yourself, He's never going to forgive me. You are, in your mind, thinking that Allah is stingy, and Allah is mean, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive, that He is a low and negative in your conception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you say, He's never going to forgive me. And that meaning is problematic, right? That meaning shows that our belief in Allah isn't proper. And our proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should always remind us that we're never beyond the pale of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنُطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. Allah says in another verse, who despairs from the mercy of Allah except those who are misguided, those who are astray. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah forgives all of the sins. Without condition here. Allah forgives every sin. What about shirk? Yes, Allah forgives every sin as long as the person repents. And the person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now realize when Allah talks about sins here, what does He call them? In Allah yaghfiru dhunub. He calls sins dhunub. What does this mean? Realize other places in the Quran when Allah talks about sin, He calls it wizr. Wizr means like a burden that you're carrying on your back. Khati'ah. Khati'ah is a mistake that we make. Here Allah says dhunub. What is dhunub? Dhunub comes from the word dhanab, which is the tail of an animal. Right? The tail of whatever, a sheep or a lamb or something like that. The tail of the animal is what they would use to grab the animal to slaughter it. Right? Especially some of these animals, especially if it has like horns. If you try to grab the animal from its head and it's got horns, you might get the horns, right? It might stab you with it, it might really hurt you. Or it might bite you using its teeth. So it can be kind of dangerous trying to grab the animal from its head. So what did they do? They would grab it from the tail. And the animal's horns and its teeth have no way to stop you from grabbing it from the tail. So it's a pretty big weakness for the animal to have. So they grab it by the tail, and then they would be able to overcome it and slaughter it. So it's interesting, there's symbolism here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, or He is relating the concept of sins to the concept of the tail of the animal. The symbolism is that our sins are kind of like the tail of that animal, in that the tail of the animal was the cause of its destruction, right? Because of the tail, you're able to grab it and destroy it and kill it and slaughter it. Your sins are like your tail, in that they are the weakness, they are the cause of what will cause us to be punished in the hereafter and cause our destruction in this world and in the next. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about sins, He wants you to understand that sins have consequences. He wants you to understand that sins could lead us to some very terrible places. So He tells you, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبِ Yes, Allah forgives all the sins. But He wants you to understand sins could be a significant weakness for us and could cause our destruction. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Now He tells you that He will forgive, يَغْفِرُ the sins. And إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ He is الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ What is مَغْفِرَة? مَغْفِرَة comes from the word مِغْفَار, which was like the helmet a soldier would wear in war. If you're going to war, you'd wear a helmet on your head made of steel, so that if an arrow hits you, you know, protects your head, sword hits you, protects your head, you'd wear on your head a helmet. Now, realize, who is the one attacking you in this concept, in this symbolism here? Your sins are the ones attacking you. You need maghfirah to protect you from your own actions, from your own sins. Because your sins are like the arrows and the swords attacking you. You need forgiveness from it. You need maghfirah. You need protection from those attacks that your own sins are producing. Number one. Number two, maghfir, the helmet, does what? It protects your head, so it's protecting you from the consequences of the sins. It's also covering your head. How many of us have done a lot of sins? And nobody even knows the sins that we've done. We know. Maybe even you don't know. Maybe even you forgot your sins. So you did a sin, you forgot about it, nobody else knows about it. Right? We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hide our sins. We don't want people to know the evil things that we've done, right? We don't want other people to be aware of it. And we want it to be forgiven. We don't want to face the consequences of our sins. And we don't want that sin to become exposed to other people. So we ask Allah for maghfirah, for forgiveness. We're asking Allah to protect us from the consequences of this sin. And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well to hide the sin so that it doesn't become exposed. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ He is Al-Ghafoor, the one who provides this maghfirah, this forgiveness. And He is Al-Rahim, the one who is the most forgiving. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وَمَنْ وَلَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues in these verses and he says, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. That turn back to your Lord and submit to Him. Anibu means to turn back. Literally to be walking in one direction, then you turn back in the other direction that you were going. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, turn back to Allah. The direction that you're going, the way that you're going, turn back around and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَسْلِمُوا. أَسْلِمُوا literally Islam. What does it mean? وَأَسْلِمُوا. Humble yourself. Surrender yourself. Because when we are being sinful, there is arrogance there. أَسْلِمُوا means be humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this applies to the Muslim and the non-Muslim. أَسْلِم means become Muslim. And to the Muslim, like to the non-Muslim, aslimu means become Muslim. And to the Muslim, aslim means surrender more, have more humility, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Allah says, before the punishment comes to you, and then you will not be helped. Now realize the way this phrase is versed, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ, before the punishment comes to you. So Allah is telling us the punishment is coming. And no one will help you against that punishment. Now realize the punishment is coming from whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hellfire. So the punishment is coming from Allah, but Allah does not ascribe the punishment to Himself. Why? Because these are verses of mercy. And so Allah is emphasizing the mercy of Allah. The punishment is coming and nobody will help you against it. So go to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه. There is no sanctuary away from Allah except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that will protect you except going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas comments about these verses. He says, when the punishment comes, there will be three major excuses that people have that come in the next verses after this. What are the three common excuses that people will have when the punishment comes to them? Number one, أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت من جنب الله وإن كنت لمن الساخرين. That the person will say, how great is my regret that I neglected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I was of those who mocked the believers. So يا حسرة, what is wrong with me? It's a great regret. What's wrong with me? على ما فرطت, over what I wasted and I mocked the righteous people. And so those who mocked the righteous people in this world will be mocked in the next world. So the first is they blame themselves. I wasted my time. I wasted my life. I wasted being someone who is mocking and not someone who is turning to Allah. Number one. That's what's the next excuse? أو تقول لو أن الله هداني لكنت من المتقين. Or some people will make another excuse on the Day of Judgment. They will say, oh Allah, if only you guided me, I will be amongst the righteous. So it's as if they're blaming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the things they did in this world. And this is a type of arrogance, right? So the person, you know, a Muslim, sometimes this happens, you know, you see a Muslim is doing something haram, the Muslim is drinking, the Muslim is doing this or that, and you go to them and say, why aren't you turning back to Allah? Why aren't you abandoning these sins? He says, when Allah wants me to stop drinking, I'll stop drinking. When Allah wants me to stop smoking, I'll stop smoking, right? He doesn't want to take responsibility for his own deeds. He wants to just blame someone else. And this is what shaitan does as well. This is a shaitanic trait, right? And so this is the excuse that really comes out of arrogance. They blame Allah for the sins that they've done. And the third excuse, أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابِ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Or when they see the punishment, they say, oh, if only I had another chance. If only I can go back to the world, live my life again, I will be of those who do good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects all of these three excuses. He says, Bala, قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِي فَكَذَّبْتَ بِهَا وَاسْتَكْبَرْتَ وَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says, Bala here is yes, but really it means no. Like it's rejecting what they have said. Rather, my verses came to you, my signs came to you, and you denied them, and were arrogant, and were amongst the disbelievers. Allah is saying to the one who said, you didn't guide me. Allah is saying, no, my verses, my signs came to you. My guidance came to you. قَدْ جَاءَتْكَ آيَاتِ. My signs came to you. and you denied them and were arrogant. And Allah says to the one who regrets and says, I neglected, Allah says, no, rather you rejected. The person who says, farrat, I lost doubt, I neglected, turning to Allah, Allah says, you didn't neglect, you actually rejected. And they were of those who are ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third excuse, if only I can get another chance. Allah doesn't specifically respond to it in this verse. But what would those people say, if only I get another chance? Allah already says in the Qur'an in another verse, وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْ. Were they to return back to this world, they would go back to the same things that was haram for them to do. Allah says this. If Allah gave them, if the person dies, stands up in front of Allah, says, oh Allah, if only you gave me another chance. So Allah says, okay, all of a sudden they're born again, they're living this world again, that person would do the same thing they did the first time. If they were given infinity number of chances, they would do the same thing over and over and over again. And that means that the only thing you have in control is what you do right now, in your life today. What you decide in the time Allah has given you on this earth, whether you have one more day to live, whether you have 60 more years to live, whatever that time is, all you have is this time. What you do now is what you would have always done. And if Allah gave you a million lives, you would have done the same thing over and over and over again. And so how do we attain this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His forgiveness, so that when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not throwing out the excuses, it's your fault, I'm not guided, or you're saying, oh, I was too neglectful, or you're saying, I wish I had another chance. What do we do so we're not the people standing with excuses on the Day of Judgment? وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. Turn back to your Lord and surrender yourself to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's turn back to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's seek the forgiveness of our sins. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, so that we are the ones on the Day of Judgment who are happy, whose faces are shining, and are on our way to enter Jannah. Ameen. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna 'alan nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim 'ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin ma dhakarahu adh-dhakirun al-abrar wa salli 'alayhi rabbana ma tadawwa' miskun wafah. Salli 'alayhi rabbana salatan wa salaman da'imain ila yawmiddin. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin wa ala ummati al-mu'minin wa alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. Allahumma la tad' 'ala fi maqamina hadha dhanban illa ghafarta wa la hamman illa farajta ولا دين إلا قضيت ولا مريضا إلا شفيت ولا مبتلا إلا عافيت ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله قم الصلاة.